The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest spiritual leaders in history, wrote these haunting words, "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do I do not do, but what I hate I do." Sound familiar? Today we are going to explore a profound truth that most videos on this topic completely miss. Why your battle with lust might not be evidence of your failure, but of God's unique purpose for your life. And I promise by the end of this video you will see your struggle through entirely different eyes. Throughout Scripture we see an undeniable pattern. Those chosen for extraordinary purposes often faced extraordinary temptations. David, a man after God's own heart, fell to lust with Bathsheba. Joseph, destined to save nations, was tempted by Potiphar's wife. Samson, gifted with supernatural strength, was repeatedly drawn to women who were not part of God's plan. But here is what other videos are not telling you. These were not random failures. There is a spiritual principle at work here that directly applies to your life today. When God chooses someone for significant impact, the enemy does not respond with mild resistance. He targets their potential impact point. Think about it. If you were waging a war, would you attack randomly, or would you precisely target what could cause the most damage to your opponent? The intensity of your struggle with lust might be directly proportional to the threat your God-given purpose poses, to the enemy's plans. Now let me share something revolutionary that separates this video from everything else you have watched on this topic. In Corinthians 12:7-9, Paul reveals that he was given a thorn in his flesh, a persistent struggle that would not leave despite his prayers. "Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" Biblical scholars have debated what this thorn was for centuries. Some believe it was a physical ailment, others a spiritual temptation. But here is the key insight. God did not remove it. Instead, he revealed that this struggle served a purpose, keeping Paul humble and dependent on God's grace. Your struggle with lust might be serving a similar purpose in your life. Not because God causes temptation, but because he can use even our struggles to shape us for his purposes. This is not just spiritual theory. It is a transformative truth that changes how you view your battle. Throughout history, those who made the greatest spiritual impact often faced the fiercest internal battles. Saint Augustine prayed, "Lord, make me pure, but not yet," as he struggled with sexual temptation in his youth. He later became one of Christianity's most influential theologians. C.C. Lewis battled what he called a zoo of lusts before becoming one of the most powerful Christian voices of the 20th century. Even Mother Teresa confessed to periods of intense spiritual darkness and doubt while ministering to the poorest of the poor. What distinguished these spiritual giants was not the absence of struggle, but how they responded to it. And here is where we get practical, because understanding you might be chosen is only the beginning. How you respond to that calling is what matters. If your struggle with lust is indeed connected to God's purpose for your life, here are four responses that separate the merely called from the genuinely chosen. Number one, recognize the pattern of targeted attacks. When temptation intensifies, ask yourself, what godly purpose might be under attack right now? Is it your leadership potential, your future marriage, your ability to minister to others? James 1:2-4 tells us to consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, not because the trials themselves are joyful, but because they are developing perseverance. That leads to spiritual maturity. Number two, transform shame into sacred awareness. Most videos tell you to fight shame with willpower, but there is a more powerful approach, seeing your struggle as God's invitation to deeper dependence. Paul did not just tolerate his weakness. He actually boasted about it, saying, "When I am weak, then I am strong." Why? Because his weakness created space for God's power to work. Your awareness of your struggle with lust can become the very thing that keeps you close to God, creating a humility that God can powerfully use. Number 3, weaponize your weakness. This is where your story becomes drastically different from others struggling with lust. 2 Corinthians 1:4 tells us God comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Your battle with lust is not just a personal struggle. It is training for your ministry. The very areas where you have been wounded become the places from which you can heal others. Number 4. Embrace grace-powered discipline. Here is where many spiritual teachings fall short. They either emphasize grace without discipline or discipline without grace. But 1 Corinthians 15:10 shows us the synergy between the two. By the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. This means you fight lust not through willpower alone, but through practices empowered by God's grace, accountability, scripture meditation, service to others, and strategic boundaries. When you struggle, but keep returning to God's presence, you are not failing. You are demonstrating the persistent faith of someone truly chosen by God. Now, let's bring this home with the perspective shift that changes everything. Most Christians see lust as evidence they are falling away from God. But what if your heightened awareness of this struggle is actually evidence you are drawing closer to Him? Romans 8:28-29 promises that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose, with the ultimate goal being conformity to Christ's image. Your struggle with lust is not derailing God's plan for your life. It might be central to how He is shaping you for it. When David fell with Bathsheba, God did not discard him. Instead, that failure became the context for Psalm 51, one of the most powerful prayers of repentance ever written, comforting millions for generations. This does not mean we embrace sin. Rather, it means we embrace God's redemptive power that's greater than ours. The question is not whether you will struggle. It is whether you will allow that struggle to drive you deeper into dependence on God's grace. So if you are watching this and battle with lust, I want you to hear this clearly. Your struggle does not disqualify you from God's purposes. It might be evidence you are being prepared for them. The enemy does not waste ammunition on those who pose no threat to his plans. Your calling is not despite your struggles. It is being forged through them. Now, here is something I want you to do that no other video on this topic has asked of you. Instead of just praying for freedom from lust, I want you to pray this week, God, show me the purpose behind this struggle. Reveal how you want to use even this part of my story for your glory. Write down what God reveals to you and share in the comments one insight you have gained from seeing your struggle through this new lens. It could be exactly what someone else needs to hear today. And if this perspective has given you hope, subscribe and hit that notification bell, because we are bringing biblical truth to life's most challenging struggles every week. Remember, where you see weakness, God sees potential. Where you see failure, God sees faithfulness in returning to Him. And where you see struggle, God might see someone chosen for an extraordinary purpose.